There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Worldwide transmission of the Power Hour. This is your host, Ted Brower. Tuesday, January the 13th, 2015, and I have the distinct pleasure of bringing someone on that I've watched for years on the History Channel on their Alien series, L.A. Marzulli. He's one of the top authors and researchers in the field of the paranormal and also in the field of Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6. What happened way back then and how it affects us today and what's going to happen in the future because of that. L.A., good morning. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
I hope you don't mind that introduction, but I've always enjoyed
really,
watching
I'm
you.
I'm getting another cup of coffee going here.
Get you all soaked up. I remember years ago, I was listening to you on another interview, and I believe you were, it was an alien thing that you were doing. What was the name of that? It was called Ancient Aliens, right?
Yes, Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, correct.
And I remember now, I'm going to quote you on this now, sort of. I'm going to kind of paraphrase so the listeners get where you're coming from.
All right.
And somebody had asked you on a talk interview why you would stop doing that, and I believe you said something to the effect of that they would come in and they would interview you for 10 or 12 hours and use 3 minutes of the tape, and that you had enough of it, and every time you talked about Jesus or the things of the Bible, they would edit it out. Is that pretty much accurate?
Well, it's actually very accurate. That's why we actually created the Watcher series. It wasn't really 12 hours of interviews, but it was both times the interviews with the History Channel went about 3 hours. And I realized that what they do is they tap your brain, they try to get as much information as possible, and then they'll go back on it. And look, I have no way of knowing this, but I know in watching some of the later episodes that they went back and looked at some of the those questions that I answered and based entire shows about them. And then reworked the material. They certainly heavily edited me in season one and season two, which is why I just wouldn't do the show anymore. They asked me to come on season three, and I said, look, why should I come on there when you guys are going to change everything that I'm saying anyway? I mean, what's the point? So we actually started the Watchers series. We now have 8 full-length DVDs. In the Watchers series, we cover all sorts of different topics. And the reason why we do this or continue to do it is because we can get the biblical narrative and the biblical paradigm across without being religious, without thumping people over the head with the Bible, but we can talk about what we believe was close to our heart. I'll tell you something sort of off the record, but obviously on the record because I'm talking about it to you now. But I was just approached by a production company to really have my own show on the Nephilim, literally. And I passed on it. And I deliberated on it for several weeks. I was in negotiations with the production company. And the reason why I passed on it was very simple. I felt I had been praying about it, and I had an answer from the Lord, I felt from the Holy Spirit at lunch last Friday, and it was this: do not be unequally yoked. Mm. And I just went, oh my gosh.
Was it a mainstream network that was contacting you, one of the cable networks
It would have been a mainstream network. I mean, it would have been great for me, everything that you want, major publicity, a weekly show, 13 episodes in season one, blah, blah, blah. Great exposure. Are you kidding me? I mean, people would lap that up in a New York minute. And the reason why I passed on it, and I wrote them, and I said, with all due respect, the reason why I can't do this is because I will lose my voice. What I mean by that, I will lose the ability. You'll take my work, and frankly, you'll spin it any way that you want to, and there's no guarantee that you won't do it. I'll give you one more example. I was recently on a History Channel again with a show called In Search of the Lost Giants. Now, it took 3 negotiations with their contract before I would sign it, and a trip to my lawyer's office. And, you know, I don't get paid for this stuff. On these shows, no one's paying me, so I have to spend money on my lawyer, and we massage the contract and
LA, we got music
got
coming
a hard
up.
Break. Okay,
we're going to break. We got to take it. When we come back, everybody, I want to give you LA Barzulli's website. When we come back, so you can get a copy of his new DVD series. We'll be right back.
Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Welcome back to the Power Hour, this broadcast. This is Ted Brower, your host. L.A. Marzulli is my guest. L.A., what is your website?
It is lamarzulli.net.
Spell it.
L.A. M-A-R-Z-U-L-L-I. lamarzulli.net.
Yeah, now, here's why I'm doing this, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to do this, L.A., because I do this all the time. I've been in your seat thousands of times. I've done thousands of interviews over the last 35 years on health, nutrition, and fitness. And what aggravates me more than anything else is for people not to realize that when you come on as a guest, you're not being paid. And when you come on as a guest and you're not being paid and you're taking your time out to promote your product, if the person doesn't give you a chance who's doing the interview with you to even mention your product or to give out a website, then basically you've just done everything you possibly can for free, and you basically can't supply any funds to your own organization to maintain your business or even to stay in business. I remember several weeks ago, Joyce called me up and said, you know, Ted, you're not promoting your website when you're on the air hosting my show. I said, well, Joyce, you haven't really told me that I can do that, so I don't really want to do that because it's your show. She goes, no. You know, we're not paying you to do the show, so, you know, you need to be able to promote yourself and what you do so that you can basically have some revenue coming in to compensate you for your time. Let me tell you what happened to me years ago, L.A. I was doing a talk show for a Fox affiliate. It was going to be a huge affiliate up in Cincinnati, and they basically sent an entire camera crew down to film me to do this filming. I mean, they sent it all the way down from Cincinnati all the way down to my house. And I did this show. They had me on for like 4 hours. They told me they were going to do at least a two or three, they were going to do about 40 to 45 minutes on this one news show they were doing with me. And basically they were going to promote my website heavily throughout the whole thing. Well, they aired the show after I spent all my time doing it. They never even mentioned my website, never even mentioned my book, never mentioned anything. And I called them back and I said to them, I said, guys, you promised me I took a whole day to do this. You would do this for me. And they said, we don't care. Sue us. And I'm like, but I didn't write it. They said, we don't care. Sue us. So when you say to me that you have to get your attorneys involved so that you don't get edited into oblivion and they can't change the things that you want to do and you've got to pay for your legal fees out of your own pocket, I know exactly what you're saying because, folks, you don't understand. When L.A. comes in and does stuff like this, this is based upon years and years and years of intensive research and work that he's done to learn this material. And you know, the Bible says to us that the workman's worth his wages. And I said, so that's why I say to everybody, when I have guests come on the show, when I'm the host of the Power Hour, and I know Joyce does the same thing, I'm always asking them, what's your website? What's the product that you currently have? What's your current DVD set? Or what's your current book? So, L.A., rest assured, I'm going to promote you heavily on the show today. So finish telling us the story you were talking about this last time you were doing a show.
Well, I certainly will, and thanks for the plug, Ted. I really appreciate it, and you nailed it, so I won't reiterate it. But here's the deal. They wanted me to come on this show. It's the Arab every show, and these are really nice guys. I've known Jim for a while. We've communicated, actually, before that he had a production deal going. And I had been out in Catalina in 2013, and I discovered some very interesting artifacts that frankly had been overlooked before. Now they're all over the internet because I posted them on my blog, but they're featured in my book, On the Trail of the Nephilim 2. One of them was a picture of Ralph Glidden. Now remember, this is the Arrow Brothers show is called In Search of the Lost Giants. And so I actually had physical evidence, a real photograph taken from Catalina, and this is the kind of stuff that right out of Hollywood. There's a cache of records from this primitive archaeologist who was out in Catalina in 1919 doing primitive archaeological digs, for the High Museum. The High Museum was later gobbled up by the Smithsonian. Catalina is an island, part of an island chain called the Channel Islands, which span from Santa Barbara down to San Diego. It's about 26 miles across the sea from Los Angeles. So the curator, former curator of the Catalina Museum, John Borgino, was up in the attic, and he finds this, it's right out of Hollywood, this chest, opens the chest up, and voila, all of Ralph Glidden's lost records, pictures, journals, maps, all sorts of stuff. And I was able to go out and look at all this in the back room. The public doesn't get to do this. I gave a $1,000 donation, which I was more than happy to give to the new museum in Catalina. And I went in there after hours with the curator, and they had two tables set up with white paper on them, and they bought out the museum boxes, and I had at it for 5 hours one day and basically 5 hours the next morning. What I found there was startling, and all that is in On the Trail of the Nephilim, too. But I'll tell you about one of the pictures, and this is the one that the Vieira brothers wanted to look at. It showed Ralph Glidden, 1919, on Catalina, standing in a recently excavated grave, and in front of him is a very large skeleton. We conducted a triple-blind study, and a triple-blind study, basically, all that is we had three people, computer techs with software, photographic software on their computers. There was no collusion between any of them. I gave them the same picture, and the only thing I had to go on was Ralph Glidden's height, which was 5'8". From that, all three of these researchers took that information, extrapolated the different heights of the skeleton and heights of Ralph Glidden, and each of these guys did it in a slightly different way. The bottom line is they all put the skeleton just at right around 9 feet tall. And we rounded that down to 8'6". So this brings us back to Vieira, who contacted me and asked what I had found on Catalina. I said, well, I found pay dirt. He said, well, can you show me something? So I sent him, like a fool, I sent him that picture. Well, all this goes back to the History Channel again. They had nothing on the search of the Giants. They really had no real hard evidence, per se, and I watched every episode of the show, and I agreed to go on the show. They wanted me to appear on the show because, that first of all, the picture is my discovery and my intellectual property. Now, they spun it so that the Vieiras, it looked like to the viewer, that the Vieiras discovered the picture, but they didn't discover the picture. I discovered the picture and sent it to Jim. At the time, I didn't realize that he had a production deal, otherwise I never would have done that. But they put me on the show. And this was what's interesting. The contract, like I mentioned before the break, went back and forth two or three times before I agreed to come on. And with all due respect, they gave me a fair shake. They really did. They allowed me to speak about the Nephilim from a biblical paradigm, which is a first. The History Channel edited most of that out. And, I mean, I got to actually say complete sentences without being edited, which is unbelievable. I was on for probably 4 or 5 minutes at the most. But what amazes me is immediately after that, talking about the Nephilim and what all these pictures do, and all my research points back to the veracity of the biblical narrative, Vieira stands up and spins it the other way and talks about, well, these could be Denisovans, some lost race of human ancestry. And so it's like you've got me saying one thing, and then directly after that, you get the opposing viewpoint, which is fine. It's their show, and that's what they do here. But this is why we made The Watchers, and this is why I did not agree to go on another show with my own show. I'm a Nephilim. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? That's like, you know, that's a kid in a candy store type thing. But
well,
I would be unequally yoked.
Well, yes, that's good. But, you know, the same thing happened to Jesse Ventura when he was doing his series. He basically said that he was losing editorial ability to make changes, and the editing was basically going against where he wanted it to go. And so he basically walked away.
Yeah.
And see, and that's the thing that folks don't realize, and LA's telling you the exact truth on this. Whenever you do a taped interview, you're at the mercy of the person who's doing the editing, and they can pretty much make you say or look as good or as bad as they wish to make.
Absolutely.
By putting inserts before, after, and during your broadcast. That's why Ross Perot back in the 90s refused to do taped interviews, and I've told my publicist before, I will not do taped interviews. I will not do them. I don't want to do them. I have no interest in doing them, because they take you and they basically reduce you to the level of a sound bite, and you get about 3 or 4 sentences in, and they come in and they say, oh, but so-and-so says such and such.
Yeah,
and pretty
exactly.
Soon they completely discredit you or try to discredit you, and eventually you're asking yourself the simple question, why did I do that? Why did I allow myself to be used like that?
Yeah, I completely concur. This last show, they actually gave me a fair shake. I mean, they really did. And so, you know, for that, I thank them and the boys in History and the production company that did it in the Vieira Brothers. And hopefully, maybe we can do something in the future. Who knows?
Well, anyhow, your website again. Give your website out again, please.
www.lamarzulli.net. Marzulli is spelled M as in Mary, A-R-Z as in zebra, U-L-L-I.
Now, what's interesting, this is why I brought you on here. I want to talk next about Genesis chapter 6, the Watchers, the Nephilim,
sure.
The Giants. I want to talk about the ancient Greek gods, if there was any reality to that, if they could have been part of this Watcher network or part of this hybrid breeding program that these fallen angels were doing with human beings. In addition to that, I want to go into detail about the current satanic information that's going on, including the satanic network that operates off of Catalina Island, which you may or may not be aware of, and all of the stuff that was exposed by Ted Gunderson, if you're aware of that. So I want everybody to stay tuned, because we're coming up to a break here in a couple of minutes, but I want everybody to call your friends up and tell them to turn the show on right now, because L.A. Marzulli is in town. Okay, the man has come into the building, and he's going to be telling you everything you want to hear. We're going to be taking phone calls in just a few minutes. You can ask him. But LA, go ahead and start with Genesis chapter 6, and I want you to tie in how the Ethiopian Bible still contains the book of Enoch and what the book of Enoch does and what it talks about, please.
Well, what's interesting about this is, and this is very controversial, and you'll get people who get really ticked off when you start talking about the book of Enoch. You get a lot of King James only folks that insist that the only Bible we can read is the King James, and I get that. It's a great translation. It's the one I basically go to most of the time, but I also check out numerous translations. And I realize by saying that, you know, oh my gosh, it opens up a can of worms. But the bottom line is the book of Enoch is a pseudepigraphical book, meaning that it's written by someone else but attributed to Enoch. It was quoted 70 times in the Tanakh. It's referenced in the New Testament, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The book of Enoch and other books were part of the Apocrypha. Well, not so much the Enoch, but other books. In fact, the King James, this is what cracks me up, the King James Version in 1611 actually had the entire Apocrypha printed in it. Now, you know, critics of this will say, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on here? And later on, because of publishing costs, they eliminated the Apocrypha. So, I mean, this gets very controversial, and I understand people hold on to this stuff tenaciously.
Okay, we're coming up to the hard break. we're coming up to another hard break.
Right.
When we come back, we're going to have L.A. on with us. We've got another short break, then a long break. I'm going to give them the entire long break to go with this. We're going to start on Genesis chapter 6 as soon as we come back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
The CDC just announced flu vaccines may have the wrong strain of flu virus. You may not be protected. Whatever your lifestyle, your immune system is critical, and Immudyne provides your immune support. Doctor recommended, stimulant-free and not found in pharmacies. Go to Immudyne.com to find out more or to place an order. Or call 866-257-8668. That's Immudyne.com or 866-257-8668. Remember, Immudyne is key support for your immune system.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. In other words, they thought they were good looking, and I guess they thought they were hot. And they took them wives of which they had, though they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet for that he is flesh, yet his way shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that. I'm going to repeat that. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old and men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great, probably because of the inbreeding of these fallen angels with women and the degradation of the human DNA, and that every imagination and thought of the heart was evil all of the time. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And so basically then the flood came and destroyed this basically hybrid of the planet that was causing all of these problems. Tell us what happened in all of this, L.A. Tell us what you feel. Because I talked to Chuck Missler, because the Bible says that they were there after the flood also. And Chuck Missler doesn't believe that they were there after the flood. Tell me what you think.
Well, you know, Chuck and I go back a long way in the sense that I cut my teeth on Chuck Missler 34 years ago. I used to listen to his program constantly. I think Chuck is an amazing Bible teacher. I just received the gold medallion from the Queen of the Institute from Chuck this past fall. Where I spoke up at the KI Strategic Trends Conference. In fact, there's another conference here in Southern California. This has been hotly debated amongst biblical scholars. From my opinion, where it says very, very distinctly, that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. Remember, Moses is writing this hundreds of years after the flood, probably from Mount Sinai, where God is dictating it to him, essentially. So why would he write a Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards? And then add to that, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men and had children by them, these became the great, and you just read the passage, the men of renown, the giants, all that stuff, right? Why wouldn't he just say the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, period, done, end of story? Because it's finished. It only happened. There's only one incursion. But what's interesting is when we go back and we read the biblical narrative, we've got characters like Og, king of Bashan, who was a Nephilim. And they're there. They're there in what is known as the Promised Land or the Levant, the land of Canaan. And the reason why they're there is because they know, and I've written about this extensively in the Cosmic Chess Match, the fallen one knows that the Most High God wants Jerusalem, even though it's you know, think of what happens in Jerusalem. Our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. Jesus comes back where? Jerusalem. That's always been the prize, as it were. The Antichrist will set up his kingdom where? From Jerusalem. The whole false prophet Antichrist, where he goes into the temple and declares himself to be God, that happens in Jerusalem. So that's always been sort of the hotbed. It's always been the focal point and will be in the near future. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. It points to many, many incursions. And the reason for this is when we go back to Genesis 3 and we read this startling commentary between the Most High God, the fallen cherub who was there, and Adam and Eve. So there's four people, at least that we know about, in this particular scene. And the Most High God is sort of making a judgment, and he pronounces this, not a curse, but, well, in some ways it is a curse. And he goes, your seed, talking to the seed of the serpent, your seed will be at enmity with the seed of the woman. The seed of the serpent will be at enmity with the seed of the woman. There it is. That sets up the rest of the biblical narrative. Everything that we see is a war between these two seeds. The Antichrist will, in fact, be, in a classic sense, a Nephilim. He will be the direct seed of the serpent. And there are some people that believe that, well, angels don't have DNA. You know, how do you know? I can't prove that they do. But you can't prove that they don't. So we're sort of in our head pass.
Let me share. I was talking to Missler. I was having lunch with him a couple of years ago here in Lakeland while he was speaking at the Southeastern Bible College Conference. Basically, he and Tom Horn were both attending. And I asked him, I was sitting at lunch one time, and we were talking about UFOs and spaceships. And because I've seen the lights in the sky, I've never seen a spaceship up close, but I've seen the lights going this way, look like at 1,000 miles an hour. They immediately change, then they go the other direction. You're thinking, what the heck was that? Now with all the chemtrails we have in the upper atmosphere, you can't see anything at night anymore anyhow, because it's basically all been obscured because of all the atmospheric pollutants. But here's what I told Chuck. I said, Chuck, tell me about these spaceships. And he goes, well, they're fallen angels and angels basically in the spaceships. And I said to him, I said, why does an angel or why does a demon, why do they need a spaceship? And his response to me was, he said very succinctly, he says, Ted, why do we think that we can tell these guys how they're supposed to travel? And I thought that was interesting because the truth of the matter is, like you said, we don't know what the DNA is, and we certainly don't know what the spaceships are.
Bingo.
Okay, we'll be right back for the break. L.A. Barzulli's going to have a 20-minute break.
Proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN. You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drop and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. My host, my guest today is L.A. Marzulli, LAMARZULLI.net. He's got a whole new DVD series. You need to go take a look at it and basically support this man because he's all of the research he's been doing. Now, so L.A., so basically what's happening here in the Old Testament is you've got a bunch of angels who get the hotter women, right?
And, well, that's one way to put it. That's exactly
that's what they're saying.
That's these guys, exactly
and basically they
saying.
took off their ability to be angels, and they started having sex with women. They started producing hybrids, right? And they started producing giants. They started producing all types of animal hybrids. They sinned against the reptiles. They did all kinds of things. And basically, according to the Book of Enoch, which, by the way, is still in the Babylon, the Ethiopian Bible, and they started doing all of this horrible stuff to human beings. They completely diluted and destroyed the gene pool of the planet. It took them several thousand years to do it until God finally said, enough of this. I'm coming in because Noah's got clean DNA. I'm flooding the planet. We're flushing out the Nephilim, and we're going to basically start over again with Noah and his family. But the Nephilim were still there, and I'm sure the angels were still there because I'm sure they hopped on their ships or however they whatever they did and got out of Dodge when the planet got flooded, and then they came back and then started doing the whole thing over again. And so now it says in the Bible, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the returning of Jesus and with the returning of the Son of Man. And I believe we are at that time. We're doing the same genetic stuff now. Now, what I want to ask you about is this. In the old days when we had the giants, because we know the giants were there because we have a clear account of Goliath being one of the giants.
Sure.
Why in the world do people discount all of that information? And even with the Greek Titans and all the other people, how is that being tied back to the Nephilim? And because they're saying the sons of God bred with human beings, they're saying that in all of the Greek stories that you read.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is everybody's kind of wants to pretend like none of that stuff was real, none of it happened, and none of it have any base in reality. Tell me what you think about that.
Well, we have two camps on the planet. Basically, we have some Christians, not all, some Christians who believe in the supernatural, and then you've got the other camp, the Christians who don't believe in the supernatural, and you've got the Darwinists who obviously there is no supernatural for them. And so you've got a disparity between these two worldviews. I am a frank supernaturalist. I think the supernatural is more real than the natural world that we live in. And this is where we are. You've got people who will look at that text about Genesis 6, and they really, their eyes will glaze over, they'll run for the nearest exit, they don't want to talk about it. And this is why it was sort of reworked by, in the 4th century. What's the guy's name? I can't, just drew a blank. Still drew a blank. The bottom line is, in the 4th century, the whole Cephite theory, which is now taught in the seminary, Augustine came up and helped promulgate the Cephite theory, which is now taught in seminaries. It basically says they changed the verbiage. They changed the verbiage there, and that is, instead of the sons of God, it becomes the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men become the hoochie mamas of Cain. But that's not what the, and by the way, hoochie mamas is not a biblical term, but what we see, that's not what the biblical text says. It says the sons of God, the B'nai Elohim, which always refers to the angelic host. And they do the unthinkable. They have sex with the women. And this creates this hybrid being known as a Nephilim. What we find interesting, and you touched on this, Ted, when you talk about it'll be like the days of Noah when the Son of Man returns, which immediately begs the question, what differentiates those days? And one of the key factors is the presence of these angels having sex with the women. Well, you fast forward to modernity, here we are in 2015, and you ask yourself, well, GLA, that's not happening. Think again, it is happening. It's happening with the so-called UFO alien abduction phenomena. And now, when I started doing this, you know, years ago, I remember I was at a conference with a bunch of other Christian researchers and authors, and I was basically laughed to scorn, not on stage, but behind my back, and different radio shows, and people were taking all sorts of pot shots. Oh, this whole alien abduction thing with the implants, it's just a bunch of hooey. Well, in Watchers 7, our DVD series produced by my good friend Richard Shaw and myself, in Watchers 7 and Watchers 8, we trace a man who claims to have been abducted when he was 5 years old and implanted. And guess what? We've got it all on video. The whole process. We show the X-ray. We show the CAT scan, and there's an implant there. We take a Gauss meter, which measures a magnetic field. There's an implant there. We take a stud finder. There's a metallic implant there. It's giving off a radio frequency of about 330 gigahertz. What the heck are we looking at here? We take him into the surgeon ultrasound machine. He takes the ultrasound, takes the wand, shirt up. There's a metallic implant right there. And when we go to take the thing out, Ted, what's amazing about this is when we go to remove it in the operating theater with Dr. Matriciano, the head surgeon, Dr. Roger Lear assisting, nurses, doctors, 3 film crews, the whole thing, this implant vanishes. We can't find it on the ultrasound. And yet, a short time earlier, 2 weeks ago, we found it within a minute or two. Just bam, there it was. Okay, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks later, we're in there, and the doctor spends an hour and 20 minutes going over a 3-inch by 8-inch patch of skin on the man's right leg, and the thing is gone. I pray because I get the tap on the shoulder from the Spirit of a living God. You need to break what's going on here. And I just said, look, guys, this might sound weird, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to do it now. So without waiting for permission, I launched into the prayer, which was very simple and basically went like this. Father, if there are forces which are cloaking this device, the implant, I pray that you would break their power and do it soon. Well, Ted, within, I would say, less than 2 minutes, all of a sudden the image of the implant underneath the man's leg being shown to us through the ultrasound appears on the screen. And in the way it appears, it like comes out of nowhere. It floats on the monitor screen. And that's not how it's supposed to work. And everyone was startled by this. 2 days later, we're in Seal Lab after we've extracted the implant, and I'm sitting, I took Dr. Roger Lear out in the hall, and I said, Roger, because, you know, this has been going on for years with Dr. Lear, this debate between the supernatural and extraterrestrial interdimensional type deal. I said, Roger, I hope you realize what happened in that operating room. And he looked at me and said, L.A., I now believe there's a supernatural component to the UFO phenomena.
The
point I'm trying to make is, what do you say when you've got that type of hardcore scientific evidence and you witness high strangeness in the operating theater where the thing is cloaked and then just like we're told, our weapons are not carnal but they're spiritual, and one prayer changes the atmosphere, the power of the cloaked thing is broken and we're able to remove it.
Well, and no, you're absolutely right, because all we are is we're frequency beings. That's all we are, in this giant holograph. And Chuck Missler said that years before the scientists have proven it, and that we actually have a pixel count to our universe, and basically the cloaking and all these different types of things they're using to basically deceive us is real, because they just changed the frequency of the object, and now you no longer see it on the ultrasound. And what's sad about all of this is when you try to talk to the people about the science, because I'm a scientist. I went to Florida State. I've got degrees in biology and chemistry and psychology and exercise physiology, and I've had hundreds and hundreds of hours in laboratory settings. When you try to talk to scientists that have been indoctrinated into the Darwinian model, anything that deals with the supernatural or with frequencies or with the changing of matter, they don't want to talk about it. But then when you talk about biological transmutation, which they know is true, they want to completely pretend like that's not real. And what's interesting to me is this. If we as a nation would just open our eyes up and realize that in the 4th century, all of this supernatural stuff was taken out of the Bible. They didn't want to talk about the angels any longer. They didn't want to talk about the book of Enoch. And they took it out because they didn't want us to know about it. And the reason they didn't want us to know about it, because their bloodline is being tracked all the way through that. And these guys consider themselves to be the sons of the fallen, the ones who are running the planet right now. And that's why they do their constant Luciferian worship services and sacrifice of human beings and all the things that they do. And nobody wants to talk about it. You know, Ted Gunderson, as I mentioned earlier, he undercovered the huge satanic sacrifice network in L.A. County. He was the head of the FBI there. You can still watch him on YouTube and listen to him. But when you start talking about this stuff, it's exactly what you said, L.A. You're laughed under the table by the scientific researchers. But guess what? They're not laughing anymore, because everybody's finally beginning to realize that this is a hologram that we're in, and that basically we can control the hologram by the words of the mouth and by our thoughts and our attitudes and everything else. God gave us that ability, and the only thing that's real on this planet is our soul, and this is a battle for the souls of men. And if people don't understand that, then they're missing the entire point. And if you don't understand Genesis chapter 6 in the Old Testament with Noah, then you can't understand anything else in the Old Testament, because when God told these Israelites to go in and to wipe these nations out and completely eliminate them, that's because they were, recontaminated with Nephilim DNA, and God didn't want that on the planet to contaminate things. That's the only reason that a loving God would have done that, because he didn't see them as human beings. That's why he did that, and that's why he continually tells us that we're to differentiate ourselves, separate ourselves, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, is what the word says. And we have to understand that as Christians, we can't be part of this world system. What do you think about all that, L.A.?
Well, which topic do you want to kind of touch on?
I want to go back to the Greek gods. I want to go back to the Titans. I want to talk about the giants that it talks about in the book of Enoch. And everybody listening, you can get the book of Enoch for free online, and you need to read that thing, because it also talks about Jesus in there. It goes into detail about how the Son of Man is walking with the Ancient of Days, and how this kind of freaks out Enoch, and basically he starts to realize what's going on in the whole scheme of things, but they don't want you to know the supernatural realm. They don't want you to understand what's going on, and that includes the Catholic Church, because they're one of the primary factors that took all of this stuff out of the Bible, because the supernatural is as real today as it was then. So let's talk about the Greek Titans and the giants that are talked about in the book of Enoch.
Well, there's definitely definitely a similarity between all the Greek pantheon of gods, little g's, and gods are coming down, having sex with the women, and they're creating progeny. Hercules, the movie, the Titans. Chuck talked about this years ago, that you can linguistically make a tie between Titans and Satan, and I would agree. The Greek mythos is rooted in fact, in my opinion. And the Greek mythos that we read and that is taught in our classical, you know, classic education, whatever, hails back to the Nephilim. They were here, and all of this echoes throughout the globe. We see the vestiges, and there's a whole presentation that I actually do, which I'll be giving this coming weekend at the conference I'll be attending with, you know, Chuck was supposed to be there, and unfortunately he is not there, but it's Southern California Strategic Property Conference. I believe it is sold out. Bob Cornuke, Dan Stolbarger, and of course myself. But I'll be talking about Nephilim architecture, which we see all over the globe. And archaeologists, you know, look at this stuff and they try to tell you, well, you know, the techniques that they were used to cut andesite stone in the Neolithic age with copper chisels, which, by the way, you cannot do, you know, 3,500 years ago or older, they've got copper chisels, and you can harden with arsenic all you want. Andesite stone is about 7 on the Mohs hardness scale. You can't cut it. It doesn't work. It's real simple. So there's no iron tools. There's no diamond tools that we see. So how the heck could they do it? How did the ancients create Sacsayhuamán? Sacsayhuamán is a site in Peru. I visited it. There's all these wonderful pictures and on the trail of a Nephilim Volume 1. We get these huge megalithic stones, some of them weighing over 120 tons, with polygonal angles, which are shaped absolutely perfectly and jointed so perfectly that you can't slip a human hair between them. We've heard this before. People go tired of hearing an analogy, but it's true. And when you're standing there, which I have, you know, been there, and you look at the stones and you look at the wall, and it's colossal. It literally is colossal. And it begs the question, what technology are we looking at, which has been lost to us? Because guess what? I've shown pictures of this to engineers and architects and everybody else. With diamond saws and lasers and everything else that we have today in modernity and cranes, could you duplicate this? Well, you know, we could, but at what cost? Well, there's no cranes, no lasers, and no diamond saws. In fact, we don't see any of the tools on any of these ancient sites. The builders came, they did it, and they left. And it's a mystery. And in my opinion, we are looking at fallen angel technology, Nephilim architecture.
I couldn't have said any better myself. Now, what about the ancient things that pre-eclipsed basically Genesis? Do you believe in the pre-Adamic race that was here before Adam and Eve?
I believe that there's a lot that we don't understand, and I realize that most of this stuff is very controversial when you start talking to people. I think this whole thing that we're in is much older than we give it credit for.
That's right. There you go.
I think that something very cataclysmic happened on this earth. I don't believe that Satan's created and 24 hours later he leads a rebellion and a third of the host of heaven fall with him. That doesn't make any sense to me. So this whole thing has been around for a lot longer than we give it credit for. Is it a hologram? Are we in a holographic universe? Seems like we might be. Remember, Jesus returned to Jerusalem and planet Earth, not Zeta Reticuli. So there's a reason for that. We read in Scripture where he rolls up the heavens like a scroll. Huh? What the heck is that? Is that you know, a metaphor? Rolling up the heavens like a scroll, or is it literal? Is he able to do that? And, of course, I think it's literal. I think he does somehow roll up the heavens like a scroll. If we're intellectually honest, we don't know who we are, what we are, and how we got here, if we're intellectually honest.
Well, no, you're right. You're right. Go ahead.
Ben Stein, when he sits down with Richard Dawkins and he poses the question, where did the first self-replicating molecule come from? And, of course, Dawkins has no answer for that, nor does anyone else. It's
now,
a total
mystery. Dawkins is he's the great Darwinist that basically...
He's the great Darwinian, but he's clueless. He has no idea. And you know what he says, Ted, which is incredibly interesting to me? He begins to spout what I would call the coming great deception, the theology of the coming great deception, and that is, well, we could have been created. I'll just cut to the chase. We could have been created by a very advanced group of extraterrestrials on another planet galaxies away. and then seeded here, you know, throughout the tall panspermia. That's what he believes. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's promulgating, putting forth to people. That's all he's got. And that, in my opinion, is incredibly intellectually bankrupt. He doesn't know where we come from. And so he looks to an alien, but it's circular reasoning, because how the heck did the alien come into being?
You know, you're absolutely right, L.A., because the reality is this. Everybody now knows, because of the DNA and how it's made, that we basically were put together. We were made. We didn't evolve. It's impossible. It's a biological, mathematical impossibility.
It's an impossibility.
It's a possibility.
And you, as a biologist, know that.
That's right. And I'll tell you a story what happened to me at Florida State University. Hey, hang on 1 second. The phone number, you guys, you better get in line, 855-995-6923. Any questions for L.A. Marsulli? The phone lines are going to lock up here momentarily, so if you guys want to get in, you better get in now. Anything from the Nephilim to the Book of Enoch to the Giants to the Greek mythos, anything you want to talk about this morning is going to be open game. Don't agree with us, call us up. Agree with us, call us up. If you don't agree with us, please don't start yelling. Because this topic is so controversial for people that they don't know how to deal with it. And so that's why I'm doing this right now. The website is LAMarzulli, LAMarzulli.net. He's got a brand new series on the Nephilim, a whole bunch of DVDs that you can order from him. I suggest that you go to that website and you order those materials and you take a look at that. Now, the first time I was exposed to this was through Chuck Missler. And it was interesting because I was trying to put the connection between the current people that are running the planet, the Luciferians, and where they're coming from. And then when I finally start doing the link back, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. These guys are bad news. They're always going to be bad news. It's all based on what Lucifer does. When we come back from the break, questions for L.A.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Welcome back to this incredibly controversial hour of the Power Hour. I don't personally think it's much controversy because I'm pretty much in agreement with L.A. or I would have had it on this show. I've been studying this stuff for many, many years. And years ago, I had some friends that were coming in. They were talking about what's going on. And I started doing research, and I ran into Chuck Missler in Genesis chapter 6. And I thought, wow, that sure answers a lot of questions that didn't make any sense until after I read and watched this material. And so that's why I'm bringing L.A. on today. Number one is I really like his stuff. Number two, I want to promote his stuff. And number three is I really want him to try to educate you to the best of his ability. This stuff, when you first look at it, you start thinking either these people are nuts or I'm uninformed. And that's how I looked at it. I thought I was basically good. And the first time I tried to talk to my friends about this, they all thought that I'd gone off the deep end. They're saying, you're telling us that angels came down and bred with women, and basically they thought they were hot, and so they start having all these babies that turn into giants and messed up the DNA pool. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's kind of a little bit more technical than that, but that's pretty much what happened. And they said, well, that's really weird. I said, well, it talks about it in Genesis chapter 6, and it really goes into it in the book of Enoch, which is not an apocryphal text, but it does have references repeatedly through the Bible.
Right.
So I started reading and doing more and more research, and I started finding out that, you know, you can't really explain what's going on this planet without looking at the supernatural. You can't understand that this is a battle for the souls of men. You don't understand what's going on unless you realize that Satan runs around as a lion seeking those whom he may devour. And by the blood of the power of the Lamb and by Jesus Christ, we're able to overcome all of this stuff. Now, we've got a full phone line. We're going to try to go to these calls as quick as we can because I know the phone lines are in gridlock to talk to L.A. this morning. So we're going to go ahead and go through them. Please, if you want to argue, go ahead and argue for like 30 seconds. Give us your argument, and then we'll rebutte it. We may not have a rebuttal for it, but we'll comment on it. So, Daniel from New Jersey, go ahead. Question for LA.
Hi, I'd like to make the point we are dealing with more than the giants. We are dealing with the flesh and blood descendants of Satan himself through Cain. If you go to the book of Genesis and read the genealogy of the descendants of Adam, you will not find Cain listed, because Cain was fathered by Lucifer, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Eve
Daniel, thank you. L.A., what do you think about that?
Well, that's the serpent seed theory, and it's very interesting, and Sherry Schreiner has been promulgating that for years now. And with all due respect, Daniel, I understand what you're saying, but that's not what the text says. And I got to go with literally what the text says. It says Adam knew his wife and she produced a son and he was called Cain. Cain and Abel are not twins. They're two separate births. So somehow you got to fudge that. You got to change the wording.
Also, LA, you got to look at Lilith. Okay, we can't forget about Lilith in the Old Testament, the first person who God created to be with Adam. I mean, if you want to talk about that, we can't do that. We got to see in the ultimate controversy, and also how Lilith basically, you know, I guess she bred with Lucifer, and then you had Baphomet. So I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we can talk about this morning. But the thing about it is this stuff has got to be just, you know, succinct to the point. That was great. That was a great call. Okay, Jerry from Ohio, go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Marzulli? You're doing a fantastic job, and you are.
Thanks,
Jerry. You're getting the truth out. You're the only one that's hitting the nail on the head. Real quickly, I want to throw some questions to you. All these mandatory shots that they're wanting to give our kids. Flu shots, pneumonia shots, all these. There's like 15 different shots they want these parents to give, you know, they want their infants to have these. Do you believe that the DNA is being altered through these shots to basically change this young generation into a kind of a Nephilim base population?
Just go ahead, Ellie.
I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a Nephilim-based population, but I'll say this. that Frankenfoods and what they are doing. Go back 120 years and look at the infant mortality rate and compare it to today. You know, we have a lot better care. But remember, 120 years ago, there were no vaccines. People were getting flu shots and all this other stuff. I have never gotten a flu shot. I don't want a flu shot. I think sometimes...
LA, we're coming up to a hard break. We got a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. We got phone lines are still lit up. Come right back to your questions for L.A. Marzulli. Next hour. Go ahead.